السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ہر انسان جو دنیا میں آتا ہے اس کا ایک موت کا دن بھی مقرر ہے.
حضور says that every single person who comes into this world has an appointed day of his death. In fact, God the Exalted states that every single thing in the world will perish. However, God the Exalted also has given the glad tiding to man that when this temporary life comes to an end, an everlasting life will commence. Those who acted in this life in accordance with the pleasure of Allah the Supreme, who gave precedence to God the Supreme over everything else, will become inheritors of the blessings of Allah the Almighty in that everlasting life of the hereafter. The forgiveness and mercy of Allah the Almighty will grant them a position of nearness to Him, because they continuously strove to acquire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. They endeavored to make their lives purposeful. In other words, they made efforts to achieve that purpose that Allah the Almighty assigned for His servants. It is indeed correct that the extent of the mercy and forgiveness of Allah the Almighty is such that it cloaks even a person who performs the smallest acts of virtue and piety, even if he did not make a consistent effort to acquire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. But those people who make the effort of acquiring the pleasure of Allah the Almighty their sole objective, who always remain engrossed in trying to discharge Huquq-ul-Allah and Huquq-ul-Ibad in accordance with their capabilities, that is, a discharging of the rights due to Allah and the rights due to mankind, whose aim and goal is to see the preeminence of the religion of God and the propagation of the message of Allah the Almighty, and whose high morals are acknowledged by everyone young and old. Allah the Exalted and His Messenger, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon Him, have said that they are such people for whom paradise becomes binding. Or Allah the Almighty has given the glad tiding of paradise to such persons who for the sake of his religion present the offering of their lives and attain the status of martyrdom. God the Exalted states that such people may have departed from this life, and they may have passed from this temporary abode. In the eyes of the world, they may have been slain or have died. But in the sight of God, they have acquired the everlasting life. For this reason, do not declare such people as dead, because they are alive. The departure of such people from this world facilitates the means for life for those who have been left behind. Therefore, these people who spend their lives for the sake of acquiring the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, and who to uphold the preeminence of the name of Allah the Almighty, always remain prepared to make every sacrifice, and who actually give these sacrifices without any fear. They, on the one hand, facilitate their everlasting life, and there, on the other hand, they also teach their Jamaat and their brothers in the faith the ways of the real and perpetual life. Today we observe that it is the followers of the community of the Messiah of Muhammad alone, or there is a group or segment amongst that community, who on the one hand, for the sake of the propagation of the religion and Islam, steadfastly endeavor to spend every moment of their life in this effort. They struggle until their last breath and give their entire lives for this purpose. Or there are those who, for the sake of their religion, because of this apparent crime of accepting the Messiah of Muhammad, become the target of oppression of the oppressors and present themselves before God Almighty, attaining the status of martyrdom in His sight. Today, I shall mention two such individuals, that is, one a servant of the movement and the other a shaheed, a martyr. One, from his childhood until his demise, came into the army of the Messiah of Muhammad and conveyed the message of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to the world. That message which, to complete its propagation, Allah the Almighty, in accordance with the promise He made to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sent His true servant, the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi. Thus, this devout and loyal servant of the movement, whose name is Hafiz Jibrail Sa'id, for the sake of the completion of the mission of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, until the last moment of his life, utilizing all his capabilities, remained fully active. He constantly worked with passion and zeal. Indeed, most certainly as a true servant of the faith and true Waqf-e-Zindagi, life devotee, he fulfilled his pledge of life devotion. This servant of the movement was born thousands of miles away from Qadian and Rabwa in the continent of Africa, in a small village of Ghana, where perhaps there was not even access to proper educational facilities. However, because of his father's pious desires and prayers, made him a hafiz, a memorizer of the perfect and complete book revealed to the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He was enabled to fully memorize it. Not only did God honor him with being a hifz, a memorizer of the Holy Quran, In fact, he was placed by Allah the Almighty in the rank of those who study tafakkur fi din, being well versed in matters of religion. Allah the Almighty, through His grace, enabled him to carry out the service of conveying the great teachings of the Holy Quran to his fellow countrymen and also to people of other nations. In this way, this loyal, devout and sincere son of Ghana, becoming the helping hand of Khilafat, bestowed upon Ghana numerous honors. Hafiz Jibrail Sayyid Sahib passed away recently in Ghana. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. There are further details regarding him which I shall present. Respected Mr. Hafiz Jibrail Ahmed Sayyid was a missionary in Ghana and also the Naib Amir Salis, the National Deputy President No. 3. As I stated on 9th November 2012 on the blessed day of Friday in the Cor Labu Hospital in Accra. After a period of 1 month of illness, he passed away. I made an announcement on that day for prayers. However, he had already returned to his Lord. He had been ill for quite some time. The report regarding his health from the doctors of Ghana was sent to the doctors here in London and also in the United States of America, because the doctors in Ghana could not diagnose what his illness was. According to the advice of the doctors, the process of taking further tests had commenced. Similarly, deliberation and action was being taken to send him to London or the United States for treatment. However, the decree of Allah the Almighty prevailed and he passed away. Respected Hafiz Sahib was born on 2nd February 1954. His father, Mosof Jibrail Sahib, was a missionary in Ghana. He acquired missionary training from the missionaries there and worked in the practical field as an extremely successful missionary. In 1970, Hafiz Jibrail went to Rabwah for the purpose of becoming a Hafiz Quran or memorizing the Holy Quran and enrolled in Madrasatul Hifz. By the grace of the Almighty Allah, he was the first Hafiz Quran, the memorizer of the Holy Quran in Ghana. He also had the honor that on one occasion, Hadrat Khalif Thomasi III, may Allah have mercy upon him, very graciously competed with him in Kalai Pakarna, a sport where one holds the arm of the other and the other tries to release the other's fists. After memorizing the Holy Quran, he went to Ghana. Just a few months later, he returned to Pakistan to acquire education in Jamia. He enrolled in Jamia Ahmadiyya. In 1982, he acquired the Shahid degree. Alongside this, he also passed the Arabic Fazil examination from Punjab University. After he passed the Shahid examination and came to Ghana, on 15 September 1982, he was appointed to a city in Ghana called Tichiman. He took charge of the Brong Hafur region. Four years later, he was sent to Fiji, where he was appointed to Libasa. In August 1987, he was sent from Fiji to Tuvalu. He was the first Muballig to be permanently assigned to Tuvalu. During his stay in Tuvalu, in three of the islands of the South Pacific that were also countries, Marshall Islands, Solomon Islands and Micronesia, he established Ahmadiyyat. Thus he also acquired the honor that in three of the countries of the world, Ahmadiyyat was established through him. During his stay in Tuvalu in 1991, he went to the neighboring country, Kiribati. There, he would stay for a long period of time. In this way, he was also the first missionary of Kiribati. After 8 years of service of preaching activities in the South Pacific Islands, in 1994, he returned to Ghana, where he was sent back. After returning to Ghana, he was appointed the Naib Amir, the Deputy President, for Tabligh, preaching, by Hazrat Khalif Namaseed IV. And until his demise, he excellently performed this duty. Under his supervision in Ghana, in the established Tarbiyat and Tabligh Center, many courses were held for the training of the Imams and the new members into the Jamaat. Local Mu'allimeen or teachers or Imams who would enter into the community did have some knowledge of the religion. In addition to this, they were given training regarding the teachings of the true Islam and the traditions of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. For this, refresher courses were held. Hafiz Saab would supervise these refresher courses. Under his supervision, extremely successful preaching expeditions took place. As a result of these, numerous new fruits were reaped by the Jamaat and new communities were established and new circuits were established. Innumerable mosques were constructed in these Jamaats. In fact, there were some very far off and remote areas. After contacting new members of the Jamaat a few times, for a long period of time, there was no contact with the Jamaat center. The non-Ahmadi clerics and, as a result of some others who tried to incite people against the Jamaat, some of the converts became distant as a result of the influence. Others, due to a lack of contact, did not remain all that active. When I stressed upon Hafiz Sahib that bring them back near once again, contact them and make them have a strong connection with the Jamaat. Subsequently, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, Hafiz Sahib made full efforts in this regard. In hundreds of thousands, these people were brought back into the system of the Jamaat so firmly that with the grace of the Almighty Allah, now they have a strong bond with the community and their faith and conviction is continuously increasing. Based on the specific concerns or questions which were actually objections from the people of the South Pacific with regards to the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, he wrote a book keeping those criticisms in view for the purpose of preaching to them. The name of this book is Islam in the Islands, Removing the Impediments. At the Jalsa Solana 2011 last year of the United Kingdom, Hafiz Sahib delivered an address regarding the distinctive qualities of Khilafat-e Ahmadiyya of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. After spending a long period of time in the South Pacific and then returning to Ghana, Hafiz Sahib would occasionally be sent on tours to these island countries because he had good influence there and his manner of tabligh and tarbiyat was also excellent. In October, November 2001, he went on a tour of these islands. In 2003, also, he was sent on a tour of the islands of the South Pacific. His first island of 2001 was for 1.5 months. He established strong connections and contacts in the Jamaats there, amongst which was Western Samoa, Tonga, Kiribati, Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, and Tuvalu. He organized the Jamaats there and also acquired further initiations into the community.
سر جبریل صحیح صاحب کے ذریعے 1988 میں جماعت کا پودا لگا تھا, احمدیت کا پودا لگا تھا.
Through Hafiz Jibreel Saeed Sahib, Ahmadiyyat was established in the Solomon Islands in 1988. In 1991, he sent a report. Due to other engagements and going to the other islands, he could not go to Solomon Islands. At the time, in 1991, he sent a report to Hazrat Khalif Jamsi IV. He said, I have returned here after 2 years. I have seen that the work I carried out 2 years ago has all but ended. A businessman from Fiji of the Muslim League arrived here and developed doubts and misgivings in all the members of the Jamaat and produced aversion in them. Seeing all my work undone, I am completely shaken. He wrote, Hazur, Your Holiness, it is completely my fault. With great humbleness, I seek forgiveness from you. Due to engagements in other islands, I could not come here. I had planned to come here to the Solomon Islands last year, but I had received the instruction that until December, I should remain in Kiribati. Thus, he continues in his letter to Hazrat Khalif Jamsi IV that I have to restart this work. Please pray that Allah the Almighty grants me success in this endeavor, and that we can prevail over the Muslim League who are supported by Kuwait, because the Muslims put money in there to send them, although Islam actually was introduced through Hafiz Sahib. In any case, Hazrat Khalif Jamsi IV expressed quite a lot of displeasure and regret over this. After this, Hafiz Sahib did not rest for a single minute. He made a firm resolve that he would restore all that had been lost. He worked extremely hard for 2 years, and he re-established Ahmadiyyat in that area. Now, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, there is a strong community or Jamaat established there. The Ahmadis number hundreds, and they are continuously increasing. He met the high officials and carrying out the work of the registration of the Jamaat, establishing the amala of the Jamaat and training them was all carried out by Hafiz Sahib. During certain tours, Hafiz Sahib played an important role in strengthening the Jamaat. As I stated, the Jamaat has now been registered there. It has a proper mission house and also a mosque. The Sadr Sahib, the President of Solomon Islands, Mubashir Larton Russell Sahib, met me in Australia when I went there in 2005. He informed me that I accepted Ahmadiyyat through Hafiz Jibreel Sahib in 1994. He said that before Ahmadiyyat arrived in our country, there was no Muslim. In this way, through Jamaat Ahmadiyya, for the first time Islam entered our country. And this honor goes to Hafiz Jibreel Sahib. Hafiz Sahib mentions in one of his old reports that on 9 September 2001, I arrived in Fiji. On 10 December, I departed for Marshall Islands and stayed in Kiribati for 2 days in transit. On 11 December, when I was still in transit, the incident occurred in the United States with the World Trade Center. Because there is a major military base of the United States in Marshall Islands, and the country's defense system is also in the hands of the United States. So naturally, I had the concern that what circumstances will now arise. Because I remember that 10 years ago, when the Gulf War occurred, I was present here and had to face numerous difficulties. I prayed profusely and reflected thoroughly that should I wait on a bit or should I leave immediately? I was strongly advised that the circumstances are dire. You have chosen an extremely wrong time for preaching. It is better for you to leave promptly. He writes that, I prayed greatly that I have come here on the instruction of Hazrat Khalif Jamsi. I do not desire to leave without achieving my purpose, whereas the circumstances are extremely dire. In any case, he said, after prayers, I gained the confidence to leave immediately, that is, to actually carry out the work I had come for. So I went by air to Marshall Islands. After the incident in the United States, there was extremely tight security in all airports. When I arrived in the airport, a Pakistani had been detained only for the purpose that he was a Muslim. An immigration officer looked at my passport and said, "What work do you do?" I replied that I am a missionary. He perhaps guessed from my name that I was also a Muslim. Subsequently, he asked that, "What is your religion?" I said, "I am an Ahmadi Muslim." After some reluctance, he asked again about my religion, and I replied again that I am an Ahmadi Muslim. Subsequently, he gave me a visa for 1 month, and with the grace of the Almighty Allah, he acquired entry. In a letter, he wrote that after arriving in these areas, I learned that in particular, at this time, when all the media are actively against Islam, and using Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, they are attacking Islam profusely, that this tour was extremely important. Due to the incident in New York, people are not prepared to even speak about Islam, and some were afraid to even come near to Muslims. Subsequently, on this occasion, I had the opportunity to defend Islam on the media and on other occasions, and prepare the local Ahmadis for defense of Islam. There was propaganda that had commenced against Islam on the radio in Kiribati, due to which our Ahmadis were considerably perturbed. Thus, I contacted the manager of the broadcasting corporation. I requested to have some time. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. I was given some time and thoroughly explained all issues, Al-Qaeda and the Islamic concept of jihad. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. This was extremely beneficial. He wrote that it seemed like that whatever decision was made by the Hadhrat Khalifatul Masih was exactly in accordance with the need of the hour. Azur says that I had instructed him to go on a tour of the islands. This was in 2001. Not only did he gain the opportunity to defend Islam, but he also converted 49 people into the Jamaat. So initially people were afraid to even come near to Muslims, but through the grace of the Almighty Allah, he also achieved 49 new initiations. He then says, all praise belongs to Allah, that in order to strengthen the Jamaat, I also carried out work of the election of the Amla and also on other issues. The missionaries who worked with him in Ghana and also the Da'in Allah there said that Hafiz Saib's enthusiasm for preaching was like a craze and was spent day and night for this. He would send teams of Da'in Allah and would accompany them himself and would remain with them. He would check how the work was being carried out and to what extent and where. He had extremely high levels of tolerance and patience. If any of subordinates made any mistakes, he would explain to them lovingly. He had knowledge of their friends' endeavors and also the families and would help in resolving their domestic issues. If there was any complaint regarding any missionary, then instead of discharging him, that is, the local mu'allimeens or teachers would endeavor to once again make them active and useful for the Jamaat. Some people hastily decide that complaint should be made against the person and he should be relieved. But Hafiz Sahib would make maximum efforts to try and make best use of an Ahmadi as much as possible, in particular of the Mu'allimeen. Then one of his Mu'allimeen colleagues writes regarding him that Hafiz Sahib had connections with some of the major non-Ahmadi clerics. He would send them gifts on Eid. He was an extremely active person. In the northern areas of Ghana, it was as a result of his extensive campaign that Jamaat Ahmadiyya is recognized there. When 20 years ago in Ghana, or 25 years ago it can be said, it was extremely difficult to establish Jamaat Ahmadiyya, in fact impossible, in the northern regions of Ghana. Only a handful of people would become Ahmadis, because the Muslims are in strength there. The Imams there were fiercely opposed to the Jamaat. In fact, initially when Ahmadiyyat arrived there, in the region of the northwest of Ghana. There was litigation raised against Ahmadis. They were penalized and also arrested. Nonetheless, now the tables have completely turned. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, mosques are continuously being constructed by us and from amongst those very Muslims. Even amongst those very Imams, they are joining our Jamaat. He writes that now the Jamaat is recognized there. Often, Hafiz Sahib would give alms and sadqah to people quietly. He had connections with all types of people, rich and poor. He would thoroughly endeavor to resolve people's personal problems. He was extremely acquainted with regards to how to extract work from people. He had very good relations with the well-off and wealthy Ahmadis. Through their support, he had mosques constructed in the northern regions. He would appeal to the well-off Ahmadis that Allah the Almighty has bestowed so much grace and bounty upon you. As a gratitude to this, you should have mosques constructed in the poor areas. Thus, numerous small mosques were constructed by the local people there. During one interview on MTA, he informed that service of the Jamaat and life devotion is in my blood. It is in my genes. My father was first a missionary in Gambia. Muhammad Sharif Sahib took charge from him. Thereafter, my father also had the opportunity to serve in Liberia. Hafiz Jibreel Sahib was truly dedicated with the service of the faith, and he also had the sense of responsibility. During his illness, he wrote in his final letter to me. At the time, he was admitted to the hospital and he was in the ICU. Generally speaking, people in ICU are not in their full senses. In this state of extreme pain, he wrote that I am writing to you in extreme suffering and tears are flowing down from my eyes. Hazur, Your Holiness, there is a great amount of work and I have no strength to carry it out. In other words, until his last moment, if he had any concern, it was only that how could he convey the message of Islam and Ahmadiyya to the corners of the country, and that I should as quickly as possible bring all Ghanaians into the fold of Ahmadiyya, that is, the true Islam. In one interview, he also related his incident about going to Pakistan, which is very interesting. He said that Ghana Jamaat decided that a child should be sent to memorize the Holy Quran to Pakistan. Subsequently, the school kids were assessed, and he says that I was chosen. My father asked me about this, and I expressed my agreement. At the time, Muhammad bin Saleh, who is also a missionary of ours there, and Ibrahim bin Yaqub, who is also a Ghanaian missionary who is in Trinidad these days, were all being sent to Pakistan to study in Jamia Ahmadiyya. He says all three of us had medical checkups. The other two passed in the medical checkup. However, the doctor said regarding me that he is very skinny and lightweight. He will not be able to endure the extreme weather in Pakistan, the heat and the cold. Thus, I was declared unfit. My father was extremely hurt by this and he fell profusely in prayer. Hafiz Sahib's father said to the national president, the Emir of Ghana at the time, Ataullah Kalim Sahib, that my son will definitely go to Pakistan. Amir Sahib said, how will that be so? My father responded that I was praying the tahajjud when a very clear voice entered my ear, Inna lil muttaqina mafaza, that there is only success for the righteous. In those days, I was praying most profusely for my son. So this glad tiding is for my son. Hafiz Sahib says that my father gave me some margarine and some other things. He counseled me regarding my health that I should eat regularly. 2 or 3 weeks later, I was sent for another medical checkup, and the doctors declared me medically fit. They wrote that the boy is completely fit, there are no problems with him. He says that whenever my father wrote a letter to me when I was in Pakistan, he would write that your going there was a decree of Allah the Almighty, so therefore pay attention to your studies with seriousness. Hafiz Sahib subsequently thoroughly fulfilled his father's wish. Hafiz Sahib leaves behind his wife, Hana Sahid Sahiba, two sons and two daughters, whose names are Hiba, Arbab, Saba, Munir Hadi and Demina. He endeavored for his children to be forthcoming in religious and secular education. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, his children have a strong connection with the Jamaat and they also possess religious knowledge. In their secular education as well, three of the children have completed their master's MSc and one daughter is also studying her PhD. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, in 2007, respected Hafiz Sahib had the honor of going for Hajj, the pilgrimage. His Jamia colleague, Mukarram Ilyas Munir Sahib, who is a missionary in Germany, writes, Hafiz Jibrail Sayyid Sahib was 1 year junior to me in Jamia, however he progressed far ahead. I have seen him at a very young age as a small child. When he enrolled in his innocent age in Rabwa Nahif's class to memorize the Holy Quran. Not only did he have the honor of memorizing the Holy Quran, but also Allah the Almighty gave him a very melodious voice. During the Jamia time and also at the occasions of the Jalsa after, the participants had the opportunity to enjoy his voice. I found him very capable and one who had complete grip upon his knowledge. Along with his strong person, he was also extremely obedient. He was initially a weak child, but gradually and slowly as he grew up and graduated from Jamia, his height reached nearly 6 feet and he also was very well built and strong. He greatly understood the system, the Nizam of the Jamaat, and even in the smallest matters, was extremely sincere and devout in obeying it. He was also very patient and forbearing. Once, a person considering that Hafiz Sahib did not know any Punjabi because he was African, used some words in his presence while giving some instructions to someone else which were inappropriate. However, despite Hafiz Sahib understanding these words, he did not express it or let it be felt. Abdul Sami Khan Sahib, editor Al-Fazl, writes that myself and Hafiz Jibril Sahib from 1975 to 1982 were class fellows in Jamia. He was extremely hard-working, responsible and loving to the movement. He was very respectful to the teachers. He learned Urdu excellently and he also helped his fellow class people in learning English. He also took part in Arabic speech competitions and it was good competition. His countenance was always filled with happiness and he was always smiling. Most certainly his happiness and joy was always in him. In every circumstance, I have never seen any sorrow in him. He would always be smiling. In Ghana, I have seen him and also I have seen him here. He was a keen sportsman and was very good at football. He took part excellently in the work of Khudaman Ahmadiyya. He maintained old relations with friends. In 2005, he went to Qadian and he held a dinner for all his friends. Regarding Ahmed Jibrail Sayyid, there are other reports. One says that in the neighboring country to Ghana in Togo, in the border region, he had the opportunity to perform preaching. On many occasions, he did tours of these areas and he took part in preaching expedition. There was fierce opposition there. As a result of his efforts in five areas in Togo, Mumpaga, Mumplog, Mango, Bole and Lemokara, Jamaats were established. In this way, he went on many tours to Burkina Faso. There also, he took part in Jamaat programs and had the opportunity to carry out a lot of work of Tarbiyat and Tabligh. Fazlur Rahman Tariq Sahib, the Amir, the National President of the Jamaat in Fiji, says when in 2003 Hafiz Sahib came to Fiji, I met him there for the first time. I had the opportunity to live close to him. I bore witness to a good habit of his in our first meeting. It is this that when at night Hafiz Sahib would wake up, he would recite the Holy Quran. Alongside being a Hafiz of Quran, he had many qualities. He was extremely well seasoned in the preaching field. With every elder and youngster, According to the temperament, he would carry out preaching discussions. Alongside religious knowledge, he was filled with secular education. And like a successful missionary, during discussions he would convey the message of Islam. His manner of talking was extremely informal. Whilst laughing and smiling, he would say very difficult things very easily. The missionary of Kiribati, Ibrahim Eke Argo, in his letter writes, "In Kiribati, Tuvalu and the other islands, Hafiz Ahmed Jabil Sahib prolifically carried out tours for the sake of preaching. His family would be left completely alone behind when he went on tours to many places, and he would not worry at all for them. In fact, he would say that for the sake of conveying the message of Islam, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih has chosen me and sent me here. Khalifatul Masih prays for me. Thus, for this reason, he never let any opportunity for preaching slip from his hands. He would always be in the effort to live up to the expectations of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih. When he was appointed once again in Ghana, he did not break off his connection with the islands. In fact, he would remain extremely concerned of these islands in terms of preaching and tabligh. When I sent him once again for a tour in 2010, he carried out a very wide-ranging tour and brought back a lot of information and details and established the system and his arm there greatly. The missionary in Kiribati writes, Hafiz Ahmed Jibreel Sahib, in the last days of his illness, phoned the wife of the late Anis Sahib, who was the first Ahmadi of Kiribati, and counseled her to remain in contact with the Jamaat. He said to her, you should always keep this in your mind. Here, he is phoning from the hospital, when normally a patient is worried about his illness, and he is contacting someone in a very far-off place of an island. He said that, remember, Allah the Almighty has given you the blessing of Islam. In order to find Islam, you people have not had to carry out any journey. In fact, Allah the Almighty has conveyed Islam to your homes and given you great reward and blessing, so therefore never leave the Jamaat. Through Ahmed Jibreel Sayyid Sahib, amongst those who did the initiation, one is a medical doctor, Ali Sahib. Alongside his wife and children, they accepted Ahmadiyyat. Both of his sons are also medical doctors. He is an expert of the Kiribati language, and at the present time, they are carrying out the translation of the Quran in the Kiribati language. In fact, it is completed and is being revised. May Allah the Almighty grant this very honorable son of Ahmadiyyat entry into his paradise. May hundreds of thousands of such helpers of Khilafat be granted by Allah the Almighty. The departure of such a capable, humble, devout and loyal servant of the faith is extremely sorrowful. However, we are satisfied upon the will of Allah the Almighty, which is the hallmark and splendor of a believer. The prayer of Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return, is our only prayer and support. Through his passing, may Allah the Almighty alleviate the natural human concerns that I have through His grace. Now, a Madrasatul Hifz has been established in Ghana. In fact, perhaps the first few classes have graduated from there. And, in order to prepare Shahid, missionaries Jamia Ahmadiyya has also started in Ghana. That is, for the West African countries, or in fact, all of African countries will be catered for there. May Allah the Almighty make it so that people just like Hafiz Saab, in fact, even people greater than him, who are servants of the faith, are produced there, who tread on the delicate paths of Taqwa. As I stated, that at the moment, in the sight of Allah, amongst those who are accepted, I will mention two. The second individual I will mention is someone who recently attained the status of martyrdom in Quetta. He also becomes a part of those people regarding whom Allah the Almighty states, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتَ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ إِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Think not of those who have been slain in the cause of Allah as dead. Nay, they are living in the presence of the Lord and are granted gifts from Him. Thus, as I stated, this honor and distinction is today only with the members of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, who are being slain in the way of Allah the Almighty, who for the sake of safeguarding their faith are offering the sacrifice of their lives. Thus, as I have mentioned on many occasions earlier, the tactic of murder and slaughter by the opponents can never shake Ahmadis from their faith, inshallah, God willing. This Shaheed, martyr who obtained this honor in Quetta, his name is Manzoor Ahmad Sahib, son of Nawab Khan Sahib. He was martyred on 11th November 2012 in satellite town Quetta. Ahmadiyyat entered his family through the grandmother of his father, Motarma Bhagbari Sahiba. She lived in a place near Qadian called Ningal. She took the birth at the hands of the promised Messiah and thus was a female companion. After the establishment of Pakistan, they migrated and settled in Sahiwal. In 1965, they went to Quetta. The martyred Manzoor Ahmad Sahib was born in 1978 in Quetta. After Metric, in 1996, he began his work, and he started a hardware shop. After a short while, Allah the Almighty gave him great blessings in his business. The incident of martyrdom occurred as such that on 11th November 2012 in the morning at around 8 a.m, he was leaving from his home in satellite town to his shop, which was a short distance away. He set off by foot when two people on motorcycles arrived. One got off the motorbike, rushed towards him, and tried to fire at him. However, because he was at close proximity, there was an altercation between them. That is, a fight started and he tried to overcome him. Manzoor Sahib escaped from him and ran back towards his home. However, they were two. He hit his knee with the pillar next to the gate. Due to this, he fell down. The attackers came after him, and after Manzoor Sahib fell down, they fired at him. One bullet went through his head, whilst the other bullet struck the back of his head and exited from in between his nose and forehead, as a result of which he was martyred on the spot. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The martyr had to face religious opposition for quite some time. The neighboring shopkeepers were also actively involved in opposition to him. For some time in the area, there has been a strong campaign for boycott against the Jamaat. In the well-known Gol Mosque of the satellite town, a Maulvi from Dera Ghazi Khan would come and give edicts of wajib al-qatl that Ahmadis are eligible to be killed, and is also distributing literature against the Jamaat. Last year, next to the shop of the martyr, there was a fire in one of the opponents. These people do not take any lesson from this. There was fire in the neighboring shop, all his goods were burnt. The martyr's shop was completely surrounded by fire, but miraculously, Allah the Almighty safeguarded it completely. The plastic boards outside were even miraculously safeguarded. All were shocked by this. However, all of this are not sufficient to open these people's eyes. The martyr had great compassion and love with all his family. If anyone had any need for financial aid in his family, he would fulfill that requirement of anyone. He was extremely hospitable, and especially he would not let anyone leave from the Jamaat without hospitality. If any guest came from the Markaz and some other Ahmadi made them their guest, he would insist to take the guest with him. In the programs of 40 or 50 Ahmadis, he would make arrangements in his home and also would make arrangements for the food and do hospitality himself. He would fully partake in Jamaat. Even presently, he was Naib Qaid's Halka Satellite Town, Secretary Waqf Jadid and Secretary Tariq Jadid. He was also a member of the Security Committee and the Islahi Committee and was being enabled to serve in these capacities. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the martyr was a Musi. In 2007, he entered the scheme of Vasiyat. 1 week before the martyrdom, the father of the martyr saw in a dream that there is a crowd of people and he is seeing off the family himself. This is the father who is relating this. In the same way, the wife saw a dream that I am going forth, my children and sister-in-law are with me along the way, a black dog attacks, I hide behind my sister-in-law. I say that pray, but the black dog captures by the jugular vein. The martyr leaves behind, apart from his father, Mukarram Nawab Khan Sahib, his wife, Shivana Manzoor Sahib, two daughters, Azina Nomana Manzoor Sahiba, Waqfai Noor, who is 10 years old, Aziza Faiza Manzoor Sahiba, 8 years old, son Tohid Ahmed, who is Waqfai Noor, 6 years old, one brother, Maqsood Ahmed Sahib, and two sisters. The martyr's mother has passed away, but his other mother is alive. In any case, both these individuals who I have mentioned, the deceased and the martyred, I will lead their funeral prayer and expenditure after the Friday prayer. Pray generally for Pakistan nowadays. These Ahmadi martyrs, in their pledge and in their loyalty and devotion, are striving to fulfill it in every way. May Allah the Almighty rapidly bring that time about when, for Ahmadis, where there is comfort for them and they can actually breathe. Now Muharram starts from today. In Muharram, people try to make Karbala for Ahmadis more than before. In fact, they kill and murder each other themselves. Instead of learning lesson from it, Muslims are smiting other Muslims' necks. Pray for them also, and in these days especially, give great heed towards durood and also giving alms during this month of Muharram. Pray nowadays for the harsh circumstances of the Muslim Ummah. Pray that Allah the Almighty enables them to choose the right path so that they can obtain salvation from this punishment and these difficulties. There is no other route through which it can be said that for the Muslim Ummah there is any other route of salvation except that they
Alhamdulillah Alhamdulillah Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر